Broadcasting live and worldwide from a little piece of Libertopia. Michael Dean is currently installing an antenna at the top of Mount Everest so that tonight we can broadcast ANCAP radio to planet LibPair 2019B in Alpha Centauri region. Hello, Alpha Centauri region. It's the Warrant Canary here with you and the Hazy Yak. Hey, Hazy Yak.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm terrific. It's a little cold where I am here. Where are you?
I'm in Oregon, and we just had a hot spell. It was feeling like summer for a week.
Really? Lucky. That must be the only place in the country. I'm here, Derek J., broadcasting from Keene in the Shire. What I like to call it the Liberty Media Capital of the World. And it's a lovely place, but it's getting cold, to be honest. And I'm glad it's warm where you are. What are people wearing?
T-shirts and jeans.
Oh, man, it's finally moved into mandatory jacket weather here. And you know the seasons by the clothes. At least I do. I don't know about you. How do you tell the changing of the seasons?
The temperature. I just know when to. I guess I do it by clothing. I wear, depending on how cold it is, I wear so many jackets or so many sweatshirts.
Oh, man. I went hiking in the New Hampshire beautiful woods, forest area, the mountains. I mean, it's so far to me. I'm from Philadelphia originally, but I moved here a few years ago, and I never really did the hiking thing. And it's so beautiful to just look out. It's like what they use as screensavers, you know, those what you would see on your Apple TV or whatever is when you're flipping through the most beautiful pictures. I mean, the most jaw-dropping sights from the top of these mountains, because it's just trees in the colors of, you know, pinks and reds and yellows and oranges. It's beautiful. It's a really magical time up here.
Yeah, I'd love to come visit sometime.
Well,
I gotta get on my
Oregon.
Yak.
Get on your yak. Could you travel on a yak?
Yeah, it wouldn't be that fun, but.
So you're a yak farmer, true?
Yes, I am.
And how many yaks do you have?
I currently have 6.
And what are they for? Do you sell a yak? Do you milk a yak? What do you do with
them? Yeah. Yeah, you eat them. You can milk them. You can get hair from them. Currently.
Have you gotten any blankets out of your yaks yet?
No. I've only gotten a few dreadlocks. They fall off in the spring. And I got them right in the spring. So the hair just started clumping off. And I picked up a few. And it's not bad. I mean, I just need to do something with it, and then it would be kind of nice, but
make a blanket, make a dreadlock blanket. Actually, can you unravel it a little first, because that's kind of nasty.
Yeah, I'd have to wash it a bit.
Cute. Well, we don't have any yaks here. I heard they're smelly, and they're in Afghanistan. Is that true?
I don't know about, they probably are in Afghanistan, but mainly Tibet, Mongolia, Nepal.
The livestock of terrorists. but we kid, of course. So, I went for this beautiful walk in nature, and it's always one of those jaw-dropping sights when you can look out and see, like, the curvature of the earth, or you can see just as far as the eye can see. I think that's really what people crave, and we weren't the only ones out there. There were a lot of people out on the trail. And, there was a little bit of getting lost and stuff and falling in rivers. I can see why trails are a metaphor for life, why so many people use that as a metaphor. But thank goodness it only lasts like an afternoon. We went up to the mountain and then back down. Totally safe. So
it's really fun camping like that. I've gone camping out we have nice lakes out here, a few. And it's real fun to just go out there for a weekend.
Are you an outdoorsy person?
Not a whole lot, but I do enjoy a hike.
Yeah, so you go outdoors and hike. See, I never do that. I'm from the city, so like I dressed totally wrong for it too. I used sneakers. You know, I have boots, but I wasn't even thinking like, oh yeah, boots are the right thing to wear, and regular just jeans, and you know, like a sweater with a dress shirt. It's so stupid when I think when I say it out loud, but like I wore a button up dress shirt and a sweater. And a jacket, which eventually I ended up taking off. The jacket was too heavy. The sweater was too hot. The dress shirt you don't need. And the t-shirt underneath is really the only basic thing you need. If you're hiking, it's going to get hot. So lessons learned. So many lessons learned in life. Hey, you know, I said my name was Warrant Canary, and I didn't mean to freak people out at the beginning of the show, because that doesn't mean that we have been contacted by the FBI. At least I have not. I have not been contacted by the FBI. How about you, Nick?
I have not been contacted by the government of any kind.
Okay, terrific. Well, yeah, or of any kind. Thanks. Yeah, I should clarify. Anyway, I say that because, you know, a warrant canary is what websites and podcasts like Freedom Fiends will use to inform listeners if they have been contacted by the FBI. But I don't know if you noticed that Twitter put out a thing today saying, you know, like, warrant canaries are legal. Apparently, this is in response to the government sending them letters saying, like, oh, hey, you can't report that you have not been contacted by us. And they're like, why not? That's, you know, that's free speech. So Twitter is going to push them on it and take it all the way to court. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I also heard about Apple doing something similar, kind of a stab at government saying, haha, we can do whatever we want. And I think that's just great.
I heard about Apple taking one of their agreements out, like one of their warrant canary disappeared. That's the thing I heard about Apple recently. But of course, you know, I just expect that all of my private data is being sent to the government, you know, when I'm using this stuff. I don't expect, not because I think that like Apple's handing it over, but just that it's going to get into the government's hands if they want it. You know, it's not like we've been learning that, who is it, Yahoo was recently fighting against releasing customer data, but they weren't allowed to talk about it for years and years. And meanwhile, people were saying like, oh, Yahoo's so bad because they're sending the government our data. But they were trying. It seems like they were trying.
Yeah.
So
I guess...
Yeah, that's a warrant canary. We have not been contacted. It was just about the news story. So I'm glad that Twitter's taken a stand. It's a weird one. It's a weird one to have to take. We're allowed to say we haven't been contacted by you. What a weird thing to declare. It's so Kafkaesque.
Oh, certainly. It seems like it should be pretty basic that you don't have to, or that, I mean, that you do get to say what's going on with your business. You have to make sure that your customers know what's going on, right? That just seems like a basic fundamental piece of running a what do you call it? I'm losing my word.
Like a business? Like,
well, not like
any,
a business,
any business,
but
would have to
a legitimate
respond to
good,
its customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's communication. Keeping the lines of communication open is always a positive thing. In my mind, you don't want to keep people from speaking. That's an impressive, ridiculous command to tell someone that they can't speak. So I won't do that. I don't think I'll ever need a warrant canary. So my nickname on the Fiends is the Warrant Canary, but I don't think I ever will officially use one because I won't have a problem with just saying it, I've been contacted. What's the worst that's going to happen? Well, I shouldn't think about that, actually. So let's move on to the Free State Project was on the front page of the New Hampshire's biggest newspaper today. Did you know that?
Wow, I did. I heard about that, and I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't read the article, but...
No. I read, like, the first half of it, because, you know, actually, I will read all of it. That's the plan, but... it's a really long article. I was surprised. They went so in-depth. The Free State Project, of course. Do you know what... Can you describe what the Free State Project is? You've heard of it.
Yeah, the Free State Project is an agreement between... the goal is to get 20,000 people to agree to move to New Hampshire. And in hopes to live in a community where liberty is appreciated and valued.
That's my goal. The I think the statement of intent, it's I haven't looked it up or put it right in front of me, but the statement of intent is something like, I intend to move to New Hampshire within 5 years of 20,000 people pledging to do the same and work towards the maximum role of government being the preservation of life, liberty, and property. So I think that's a pretty good goal to max out government. That would be the maximum role of government. So if we could go start there, I think that would be a good starting point.
Oh, certainly. I definitely love what the Free State Project is doing.
Yeah, well, it's the best decision I ever made to move here. I saw that was a quote that Ian Freeman had said that made it to the article, but it rings true for me, and I've heard other people say it as well. It's so exciting to be around anarchists all day, every day. That doesn't exist anywhere else in the earth that I know of. Although I just saw a cool little pocket of anarchy in Prague. There's some new building opening up, the Crypto Anarchy building. It's oh, painted wow. all black. Yeah, I don't know what they do in there, honestly. It was all in whatever language they speak in Prague. But
mine Bitcoin and
yeah, they mine
with
Bitcoin.
Anonymous.
Yeah, maybe they invented Bitcoin over there or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm happy here in New Hampshire, and I definitely encourage everyone who has heard of the Free State Project or, you know, just likes leave me alone-ism, like, just let me live my dream and not hurt anybody. Come and join us. Come check it out, or just see what it's like. Come visit. There are so many opportunities. Like, there's this really cool convention, Nick, called Keenvention, that happens here in Keene, focused on the people who have moved, and it's coming up. It's I think at the perfect time because it's fall, and you can ask the activists who are making these headlines, like Robin Hood of Keene, who's making the headlines internationally for just feeding parking meters. You can meet these people and even do some Robin Hooding yourself. I think that's what's pretty cool. Like Friday night, we're going to be cop blocking, which is where we're going to be recording the police on the biggest party night of the year. So it's going to be really exciting. I wish you could join us. Maybe you can come next year.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. We're back to calm the hamster in your brain. And tonight, I just wanted to talk about how much I love freedom, Nathan, with you.
Nick, you mean?
Nick, excuse
That's
me.
That's fine.
Nick, the Anyak.
Yes.
So what's an Anyak?
Well, it's very similar to an ANCAP, which is an anarcho-capitalist, which is somebody who believes in the ultimate freedom, that we should be as free as we possibly can, and that would mean without rulers.
I dig it. I follow. Yeah. What sets that apart from... when did you decide to be an Anyak?
Well...
When did you realize you were one? Is that how it works?
I guess it was. I realized, oh my, I don't like this government
thing. I've
been
carrying this all along.
Yeah, so I was listening to the Freedom Fiends here around, I guess it was about almost 2 years ago I started listening to them, and it took me a couple months, and I realized, okay, what these guys are saying really makes some sense. I guess I agree. I do really believe in liberty.
What was it that made sense? Like, what specifically?
So I started out, I was very interested in politics from a young age, and I've always been a small government libertarian, constitutionalist. Let's get down to the very minimal government we can. And I never really considered the idea that maybe we don't need government at all. And I started listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I thought, okay, they have some good arguments. I can use that as an anti-federalist argument, because I've never liked the federal government. So I started using those arguments as, okay, the federal government is bad because of this and this. And then I realized this applies to government as a whole. Even local governments have these faults.
Yeah. Like I love that. Sorry, go on.
Like using the force to take our money for taxes. Now, I don't need to be forced to pay for roads because I need those roads and I'm going to pay for them anyway. That's basically what got me.
I was just thinking about this. Like, government, to me, it's like when... Or the idea of... or anarchy. I call myself an anarchist. Like I mentioned, I live among a bunch of anarchists, and that's the coolest thing in the world to me, because there are so few that I've come across in life. And the reason I think it's so cool is because, well, like, it changes the game. Like you said, I had never considered that there could be no government. Like, so many things in life, there's just the game is handed to you. Like, this is how you play, this is what the game is, and you pretty much figure it out. Like, this is school, here's the pencil, here are tests, here's the teacher. You figure out the system and how it works and how to do life things. And government's like one of those things. But then it totally changes the game when you say, like, well, what if you don't need that? And that's a whole new what if. That's a whole new world. It's sort of like rock and roll, like changed the game for music. Mozart never thought of, like, roll over Beethoven, basically. You know, there's a whole new world that hasn't been dreamed up yet. And to me, that's the libertarian paradise of the future, where real property rights apply, basically, where people have... the ultimate property right, which is ownership over yourself. You know, because in this world, there are so many things that I can't do with my body as my property. Like, if my body were my property, I would be able to hold a gun in my pocket, which I'm currently not allowed to do because the government says no. Did you hear about that, Nick?
Yeah, I heard you got denied your concealed carry permit by New Hampshire.
And how dare they? I mean, who are they? Some government people just told me I'm not allowed to put a gun in my pocket. Of course, I'm allowed to wear one on my hip. I'm allowed to wear 10 on my hip. I can wear as big a gun or knife as I want. But if I put a jacket on over that gun, oh no, that's a crime. Or if I put it in my pocket or put it in a car, now that's a crime. So that's the property right that I'm talking about. That's the sort of... respect for property that I want to have for others and for myself. So that's why I want to live among anarchists. When I say that word, I'm talking about people who respect property, who respect me and respect themselves. Worms. What do you think about that, Nick?
No government, man. It's the way to go.
Worms. We'll be back at you with more fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Yeah. Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow.
What sound does a yak make?
It's a grunting sound. It's kind of like...
Oh, really? I thought it went... Yak. I didn't know if that was a real thing, but I tried it. So, I call myself an anarcho-capitalist, but I might change that after tonight, because it's a combination of two horrible terms, and people hate that. It sounds like a really scary thing, but I don't mean it to be scary. I'm like the least scary guy on the planet. You know, I'm so square, I wear a suit for radio.
Really?
It's true.
I'm in my boxers and a t-shirt.
Yeah, so, but I don't mean that in, like, the monocle-wearing, one-percenter, Monopoly Man-style capitalist. That's why I want to change the name. I want something different, but there's all these weirdo names for believing in owning yourself, self-ownership. I like yours. You just say An Yak?
Yeah, I say, well, I guess it's a narco-yakitalist, but some people have trouble saying that.
You told me tonight that you have some sort of objection to anarcho-capitalism, as it were.
Well,
and
so I
what
have
is
a,
that about?
I have a criticism of the majority of anarcho-capitalists. It's not anarcho-capitalism itself.
It's not the people? I mean, it's not the philosophy, it's the people?
Yeah, so I'm a nihilist, which means I really don't believe that ethical principles can be proven to exist. And
so
when
a moral nihilist, right? Because there are different kinds of nihilists.
Yes. So I'm a nihilist, existential and ethical. But we don't need to get into that. Those are some fancy words.
Right. Well, they have different meanings, and it's good to specify.
Certainly.
So, okay. So, all right. So you don't believe, what does that mean? You don't believe in objective morality, meaning a black and white right and wrong.
Yes.
For everybody.
Like, yeah, like most libertarians believe in the non-aggression principle. If you harm somebody, that's wrong because the non-aggression principle says so. And that's basically their justification for their whole political and ethical philosophies. And I don't like that, partly because I just don't think it makes sense. You can't prove that the non-aggression principle is the morally right thing to do. What I think we should do is say that it's the best way to act. It's the most beneficial way to act. And it doesn't, this is really nitpicky, I guess, because most people do believe in objective morality, so you can convince them with that. The non-aggression principle is a very good principle because it works, not because it's morally right. You see what I mean?
I agree with you. So you're saying that self-ownership, or the idea that a person owns oneself and the world that would exist if everyone believed that, should be argued for not on moral grounds, but on practical grounds. That it would be beneficial in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, so in that sense, I call myself a utilitarian. I just now came up with this within like this week.
Ooh.
I figured out utilitarianism is maybe the good way to go.
Okay.
And a lot of people have an objection to that because it seems to allow for a lot of different processes to get to this so-called greater good, like sacrificing people for the greater good. That would be argued. That could be a scenario where utilitarianism, the utilitarians would say, that is a good thing, where objectivists would say, no, that's not. We can't use the aggression on people to save the world.
Are you
and
a philosophy student?
I'm an amateur philosopher, sure.
Okay.
But with that argument, you know, that a lot of people use that as an example against utilitarianism. But the thing is, utilitarianism is so broad, right? Basically, what utilitarianism is do what's best, right? We do what is the best scenario for, I would say, everybody. And my idea of what the greater good is ultimate freedom. We should try to achieve the most freedom we can for everybody because, obviously, this is kind of an axiomatic thing. We do own ourselves because we make our decisions. Nobody else dictates what we think. We make those decisions. Even if somebody's pointing the gun at us, we're still making the decision to comply. So that means we own ourselves. You see what I mean there?
I agree. I can't argue with that logic.
So that's the thing, is that it seems pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, you
we
say it's
do
axiomatic. Isn't that like where...
Oh, yeah, it's...
What does that
it's
word
true
mean?
In and of it's true in and of itself like a priori truth, the idea that you don't have to use evidence to back it up.
Yeah.
Or
what's
it,
what's another example of some kind of truth like that?
Well, the libertarians would say that the non-aggression principle is, and I'm not going to argue that.
What's one that everyone
point.
Would agree is? Like the sky is blue? Is that axiomatic?
Or, no, actually, because that's a physical... So I'm not a professor.
How about like squares have four corners?
Yes, that would be one.
Yeah, because it just follows. So you're saying what? That people need to be free like squares have four corners?
Yeah, and we could totally get into a debate with a statist and say maybe we shouldn't, but that's a subjective preference is what I think, is libertarians and anarcho-capitalists all have the same subjective preference, including myself, that people should be free. And the difference between me and the average anarcho-capitalist is that I believe it's not necessarily the morally right thing to do, but it's the best scenario where human beings have the most progress, the most innovation, and the most happiness possible.
Yeah,
if you're allowed to do what you want, then you're going to be happier.
I agree. If you think that needs another... I don't. I thought we were going to get to have a battle here where we were going to disagree and say, no, capitalism is awesome. It's you own yourself. I don't know. But no, it turns out we agree here. I think that you can have... both. I think you can have both the moral and the practical argument in a totally free society where people own themselves. And by capitalist, you know, I just mean you own your money too. Like you own your kidney. Like I just think if you worked for your property and your the money in your bank account or your pocket or your car or whatever you've got, you know, you put your time, which is your most valuable asset, and then your energy, your efforts, your creativity into producing that stuff. And I think you own it. You own it just as much as you own your eyeballs and the hands that made the property that you now acquired. So anyway, yeah, that's what I mean by capitalism. Like, you know, that you own your body and you own the things it produces. But I think there's a moral element to that too. Like you own the effects of your actions. Some would say.
Okay, so let's go back. So you think that we should own ourselves and our what we create, I guess. Yeah. Why?
Why do humans own themselves?
No, well, we kind of came up with that, right? You do own yourself. That's kind of an axiomatic thing because we make our own decisions. But right. Why do we get to own property outside of ourselves?
Oh.
How, or why do you believe we should?
Oh, because... if I produce something like popcorn and you want popcorn, then we can trade for it. If, say, I want, you know, it's the basic barter thing. Like, if you want fish, or if I want fish and you've got fish and you want popcorn, I've got it. We trade. We're both better off. That's why. I mean, that doesn't prove that I own it. Like, you can't see the popcorn doesn't have my name on it, you know, and it doesn't, like, get your name on it when we transfer ownership. It's just sort of a thing in our minds.
It's a social construct, yeah. But, what I was trying to get out of this is it a moral thing or is it a utilitarian thing? Is it because it works best?
Well, no, because, like, taking your property, it is... some people see that as, like, stabbing you. I see it as a much lesser evil than physical harm to my body. Please, if I get the choice, take my stuff. But I see it morally as the same thing because, you know, my hands produced my car. They may have not made the car, but they typed away at keyboards and produced things... you know, podcasts, audio, videos that I produce in exchange for money that I use to buy the car. So, like, I own that just as much as I own my kidneys, in my opinion. You know, no one has the right to take it from me. That would be the other thing. No one has the right to take my income. That's sort of where I became, I guess, what you would call an anarchist, which is where I started having a problem with the government taking my earnings, like what I was making you know, producing labor for other people. I didn't see why they got a cut of that. And then even the justifications that they gave for it, I thought were pretty weak. Like they promise to protect you, but then they also don't, because in the Supreme Court, they decided that the police have no obligation to protect you. So it's not even like I get any of the services that the government's promising. So I just gave up on that and said, you know, I'm not interested in working for another person like that.
Sure.
Working for people's benefit who are doing evil things.
And so every libertarian would agree with you there. And where my criticism comes back is that that's not a universal truth. The Chinese culture as a whole would disagree with that, at least from what I have heard and what other people have experienced that have related to me. The Chinese are a very collectivist idea, and the collectivism is the opposite of what you're talking about, where you're an individual and you own your property and what you have done, your actions, and yourself, where a collectivist would say that they're part of a whole group and all their decisions relate to each other. And that is a huge thing in Chinese Eastern culture. And so when libertarians say this is the universal truth and the best place that we should be as a whole world, I have a big problem with that, because the Chinese culture would disagree.
You may be wrong, you may be right. We'll find out when we come back from this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Doing some meow therapy here on the Fiends. That's a thing we do. That's it. Makes you feel good. So we were hearing some of Nick's objections to anarcho-capitalism, which I'm titling "Why I Went and Yak."
Yeah.
And you wanted some redemption here. You can have
it.
Yeah.
So I may come across as pretty critical of objectivist. Not objectivist in the Ayn Randian sense, but objectivist as in you believe in objective morality. Libertarians that way. I don't mean to really harm anybody's feelings or anything, right? But, and hopefully I'm not coming off as offensive or anything.
Do you think you are? You think you're
I'm offending afraid
people?
That I do, because when I talk about this, whenever
Why?
I talk about this with others, they yeah. have a very bad response.
Like what? What's the average person's response to what you've just told us?
They kind of repeat the same line, we shouldn't use aggression, or they just stop talking to me completely. And that's been my experience, which is unfortunate, but...
Well, who are these people? Are they your classmates, or you don't have classmates?
No. Well,
do you have classmates?
I do have classmates.
Okay.
But very few of them are... I've actually convinced a few, but none of them are as, I don't want to say scholarly, but none of them are as involved as the people that I'm talking about. And I'm not going to call out any names, but I have had even a celebritarian, which was kind of cool. I got in a
which is a celebrity libertarian.
Yeah. So they're not really famous, but they're famous.
They're like a D-list celebrity.
Yeah. But so I get this reaction is that it's kind of the same reaction that most anarchists get when they start debating statists. It's like they don't want to talk about it.
And statists are
people
who believe in government, not just people who believe in government doing everything. I think this is used as a pejorative term, and I'd like that to stop. I can see why some, you know, anarchists would use the opposite word, statist, as a pejorative, but I wish we could just hug it out and love each other in a way. I mean, I realize there are these are people who, whether they realize it or not, are doing violence against other people. And we would like, I would like that to stop. I'll speak for myself.
I would agree.
But statism is the belief in government doing things. And if government's doing anything, they're using violence to achieve it. That's sort of their gig. So I don't want that. I want things to be provided voluntarily. Like when I go to a restaurant, you know, and I walk in and I request something off the menu, I get all these choices, and I have the choices of all the restaurants I want to go to, and I have all the choices of beverages and dates. We have anarchy in all of these things, like in food and in dating. We have all the choices in the world. But when it comes to things like government, no choice. You get no choice in that. You have to have the same one as your next-door neighbor, and he has to have the same one. And there are 300 million plus of us here in the U.S., and then there are governments all over the world. So I just, it's the biggest religion to me, and I just don't fit that religion. I don't believe in it.
And neither do I. So I'd like to make that point, is that I am a libertarian. I do believe that everybody should be free. And I am an anarcho-capitalist. I do believe that we should all be able to own ourselves and our property and not have to worry about somebody breaking down our door for growing the wrong plant.
You know, there's a movement in Hong Kong happening right now called the Umbrella Rebellion or something. And protesters are getting hurt in the streets, demanding democracy in Hong Kong. I'm not a big fan, Nick. What do you think about that?
They wanted more government. They got it.
Ouch. He's blunt, but he's got a point. We'll be right back with more after this trip from the free market, brought to you by capitalism. Society where human beings can live happy and play. No, you know, really, really play. Like, just interact on a consensual basis where everything is voluntary. It might seem like everything's voluntary today. Most things are, but when you think about it, some really important things aren't. And, Nick, we were sort of talking about that in the last hour there, and I wanted to tell you more about this article that I brought up about the Free State Project. The idea of 20,000 liberty-loving people all convening to the same general location and just being around each other, working towards advancing freedom together. In it's sort of centralized, but it's also decentralized in that there's no plan, there's no instruction manual of, like, then you move here and this is what you do. There's, like, you know, no one tells you what to do. It's just you figure out how to live free for yourself. You figure out what works best for you. People do different things. And there's this one example from the article of a friend of mine, Amanda Bolden, who founded a nonprofit called Shire Sharing. Have you heard of this?
No.
Well, she's an import. She moved from Dallas to New Hampshire in 2009. And she says she was disenchanted with the Tea Party group she joined. Now, I'll read from the article. This is at the Union Leader, and this was on the front page. It's pretty amazing. I mean, libertarians don't often make news, make any headlines at all, let alone making the front page of the biggest newspaper in the state. It's kind of a big deal, and I'm really happy about it. So here's the article. Amanda Bolden says, "The reason I moved is because I got fed up with the Tea Party in Dallas," she said, recounting the moment at a meeting. She was sitting with a group of older retired women, and she voiced her support for, gay marriage.
Dun, 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 dun.
Quote, "I said something about gay marriage, and they flipped their lids," Bolden said. "I had always just assumed we see eye to eye about civil rights." Libertarian-minded Bolden also didn't fit in with the Democrats either. So she decided to join the Free State Project. Quote, "For whatever reason, I can't sit well with the Republican Party and I can't sit well with the Democratic Party, so basically I ran for the hills." Bolden now lives in Manchester, raising her 8-year-old daughter and working in childcare. She's 29. In 2011, her father was diagnosed with cancer, and within a few weeks, she was gone. Since the time Bolden was a child, her father would make and deliver food baskets to people in need on Thanksgiving Day. She was saddened to think his work wouldn't carry on in Dallas, but she decided to do what she could in her new home state. She took on the name her father had always used, the Basket Brigade, and ended up delivering 52 baskets that first Thanksgiving. She said, "Every year we deliver Thanksgiving meals to people in need." And a fellow Free Stater and friend of mine, Ian Freeman in Keene, made a comment early on the name Brigade sounded too militant. Someone suggested Shire Sharing, and it went on from there. That is so cool. So last Thanksgiving, Shire Sharing delivered 333 baskets with the help of 150 volunteers and private donations.
Wow, that's amazing.
I think that's a lot for just a small group of people coming together and saying, we're going to hand out food to people on Thanksgiving. It shows how much can be done with a few people coming together and saying, let's help out our neighbors.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, she said that, or according to the article, organizations such as Lutheran Social Services and Catholic Charities connect Shire Sharing with a list of names and addresses, and the baskets are tailored to the family, making considerations for family size as well as dietary or medical concerns. I mean, when do you ever get that from a place like a welfare booth? I mean, I don't know if they deliver specific dietary concerns or deliver more or less for different families. I'm sure there's some sort of degree of choice there, but this is, I mean, it's really nice that they would tailor the baskets specifically for each family.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. Where's the government involved in it all?
That's funny that you should ask. It seems like it hasn't been mentioned in this article at all. In fact, the article continues, "Shire Sharing reflects her core beliefs," Bolden said, "and is a positive way to espouse her libertarian ideal that helping others should be voluntary and not mandated through taxation." Quote,
wow.
Yeah.
So she wasn't forced to do this? And man, imagine that.
Well, she just did it out of the kindness of her heart. And that's what the others did, too. She says, quote, "I think a lot of libertarians are seen as cutthroat Darwinists. If you can't make it in this world, too bad," Bolden said. That's not true. Libertarians live and believe in a voluntary charity. The true act of giving with no strings. Though she doesn't support the government welfare system as it exists, she said she doesn't judge people who depend on it to survive. Yeah, I like that. I think that's a really reasonable stance. I think that was one of the things that on principle, I was really surprised when Ron Paul ran for president and he was like, abolish, you know, everything. Abolish the Department of Education. Abolish the IRS. Abolish the Department of Defense. Close them all. And he didn't say Social Security. That was the one thing, or one of the handful of things, that he was like, nah, we could leave that alone until it disappears and dries up, basically. Because there are people who depend on that. I mean, that would just be evil to get rid of something that's putting food in people's mouths. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that? It's even as a utilitarian.
Oh, definitely. So my grandparents, being pretty right wing, they still take their money from Social Security because they put money into it. So I don't think it's fair to take it away because these people have been putting their money into it for so long. They kind of deserve to get some of it back.
Okay, so if a Nigerian prince sends you an email and says, send me some of your bitcoins or send me $1 million, and you send it each week, and he promises that when you retire, he's going to send you a whole lot of money, all the money you need to retire and take care of all your medical expenses and arrangements. So would you think that someone who sends their money to the Nigerian prince deserves to have their money?
Ooh, that's kind of an interesting thought. You tricked me once. Shame on you, or whatever.
Well, it's sort of the same scenario. I mean, it's different in some ways. Like, you know, the Nigerian prince is obviously a scam.
Yeah.
And the government, they're both lies, right? They're both lying to you about what's happening. But people believe the government one. There's more people believing it. It's more, I don't know, if you can just say, like, well, we need to have it around because it's a hoax that people survive on. I mean, they need it to live. it's not in the imagination of these people. It's in their day-to-day life. So I wouldn't want to take that away. I see what she's saying when she says she doesn't support government welfare systems as it exists, but she doesn't judge people who depend on it to survive. She said,
yeah,
quote, you're not going to find a libertarian that's going to support the current welfare system. Most libertarians are going to say they equate taxation with theft. Aside from the tax issue, welfare has failed to pull people out of poverty, she said. Obviously, people have a hard time getting off the welfare system once they are on it. For herself, when she hit hard times, she lived on rice and beans and the charity of friends. I know people that are on welfare, and I don't judge them for it, Bolden said. I would never fault anyone for doing what they have to do to survive. Free staters are compassionate and believe in helping their neighbors, Bolden said. But they don't think the government is the answer to problems like poverty or unemployment. Often the government has aggravated those issues by making people dependent on welfare and creating regulations that inhibit business. A lot of people that are on welfare believe their lives will never change, will never improve, Bolden said. Wow. She's doing the most good, I think that's the phrase of the Salvation Army, but I mean, she's doing good where she can. And I think that's the key. That's the key to a free and peaceful future, is everyone just doing what they can to make the world a better place, and Bolden's doing it. I love it.
Certainly. I think this is great. I wish more people did this.
Well, it's I don't want to say it's easy, because it's work, you know, and it's sacrifice a little bit, this charity. But it can be fun. You know, from what I saw of the videos that exist online, you can Google and YouTube some of this stuff about Shire Sharing, because their videos are online. You can see them handing baskets out to people, and the people are so grateful to receive them. And it's all these people having lots of fun setting up the baskets, arranging them, picking up groceries at the store and packaging things. I mean, who doesn't want to help out their friends and neighbors if they can? It's just, it's such a good feeling. If you see someone without food and you can offer them some, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you want to do that? It's funny to me that people think that wouldn't happen without the government doing it, without people being forced. I mean, sure, there are going to be some Scrooges out there who don't want to share, but there are enough of the rest of us normal folks who want to share with people that I think the world would get along just fine. Do you agree with that?
I do. I certainly agree.
Well, good. We don't have any problems then. Well, we will get to our voluntary society.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Worms, worms, welcome to the Fiends with Meow Therapy. I promise it makes you smarter, healthier, more good looking. It will change the world, and it makes freedom happen. There's this theory, it goes like this: everyone loves freedom. But that can't be true. Why not, Nick?
Well, it seems like it shouldn't be true because we have thousands, or I guess it's, I don't know how many states there are in the world, but it's something like 200.
I don't know. And we can't even count how many states there are on alien planets. We only know about Earth.
Fair point.
We could free the world one day, but right now we got to focus on Earth.
Yeah. So it seems like people don't want freedom because government is the antithesis of freedom. It's the anti-freedom. It's authoritarian. I messed up in my words. It's authority. It's authoritarian. The basic idea of government is to prevent people from doing things. It's the ideal government for conservatives and small government libertarians is to keep people from harming others. But what seems to happen with all governments is they start keeping people or trying to keep people from doing other things.
Like does that happen to you? Yeah, well, that happens to me, obviously. Like, my example was in the live free or die state, they tell you it's a shall issue state. That means that the government shall issue a concealed carry license if one applies. But then they have these silly loopholes that say, well, if we don't really want to, then we don't have to. So the government still has ultimate authority over whether or not me, an adult human being with no felonies, no violence in my history, whether or not I have a right to put a gun in my pocket. Yeah, and what about you? I mean, what about the ways the government is restricting you? What, aren't you not allowed to work some places because you're only 16?
Well, I don't know if they restrict where I can work, but in a way they do. I have to work for minimum wage, which is now $9 an hour, $9.10, I think. And that limits me somewhat because in some places I'm not really worth that much. I am a hard worker and I have my resume and people to point to, so maybe I am worth that much. But most teenagers aren't, and so that restricts where I can work. And one thing that the government does, which is kind of ridiculous, is they won't let me sell a dead animal. I cannot butcher a hog and then sell it to you. I have to sell you the animal for you to go butcher it.
Is this something that actually interferes with your life?
It doesn't really. I mean, it kind of does.
As a yak farmer, I would think it would.
It's upsetting because I can't kill an animal and or slaughter an animal and then hold it for a while. I have to sell it to you, and then you have to go slaughter it. So it's just an unnecessary step in there, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like it would raise your prices.
Well, so if I would be butchering my own animals, it would, but unfortunately, I am not able to slaughter an animal yet. I need some practice, and I need to actually learn how to do it before I do that. So I do have to take it to a butcher anyway. But the only difference is you have to go do it, and you have to make that cost on your own.
Yeah, but it should be the law.
Isn't on me.
But it should be the law of, like, Nick doesn't know how to do this, so he's going to outsource it. Not the law of, you're not allowed to do this, whether you know how to do it or not. I mean, that's so ridiculous that there would be... Like, who are the people who get to say you're not allowed?
Yeah, it seems like my customer should be able to make that decision that I don't want him to butcher my hog. Let's take it to the butcher down the road, right?
Yeah. Who are the other people trying to inject themselves? Do you even know where? I mean, where are the bureaucrats in Portland or in Oregon? Is it Portland?
No, it's Salem, which is...
Oh, right, right, right. The bureaucrats, yeah. They all do their thing in Salem. All right, so people in Salem, how far away is that from you?
That is about an hour away from me.
Okay, so people an hour away from you make up rules about how you're supposed to live. And then D.C., I mean, how far is D.C. from you?
Oh, I don't even know. It's on the very opposite end of the country.
Yeah, 1,000 miles or so.
Oh, more than that.
So more than 1,000 miles, people that far away are making up rules about how you should live, whether or not you can butcher a hog, whether or not you can carry a gun, have a job, how much you can make. I don't like that. I think you could do without those silly rules.
Definitely.
And you could do with the real rules, the rules that are as fixed as gravity.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Freedom Fiends, we're live and worldwide from Libertopia. Because I like to believe that I live in the voluntary world that I dream of. I have this weird separation between dream world and wake world, where I try and blur the lines between the two. And I'm rapidly approaching Libertopia, the freedom society of the future. I'll get there. Come with me.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where we should go.
Well, I'm going to pick up from this article at the Union Leader, where the New Hampshire's biggest newspaper reported on the Free State Project, which is, I think, other people's dream of the freedom future. You know, people who are working on their dreams and finding other people who want to work on them and achieve them as well. Two of them are brothers. Brothers and entrepreneurs Zach and Josh Harvey of Manchester founded Lamassu Incorporated after moving to New Hampshire because of the Free State Project. This is from the article. Lamassu makes and sells Bitcoin ATMs around the world. Bitcoin is an online currency. In the same way the internet enables free access to information, no matter where you are, as long as you have a connection, Bitcoin does that with currency, Zach Harvey said. Harvey, age 35, was born in Washington, D.C., but had lived in Tel Aviv, Israel, from the age of 7 on. The Harveys were frustrated entrepreneurs in Israel, he said. There was always some fee or fine that prevented them from getting their ideas off the ground. He and his brother moved to Manchester, New Hampshire, in 2011. We were looking for places that were less restrictive in terms of taxes and bureaucracies. It's a breath of fresh air to arrive somewhere where there are a lot lower taxes, and the government is not always in your face. Yeah, I agree with that. Having moved from Philadelphia to New Hampshire, right off the bat, I am 10% richer. Because, oh, wow. I don't have to pay the sales tax. So, like, nice. all of those taxes that go up because I live in the city and because I live in the state of Pennsylvania, all of the state taxes that are collected, the state income tax, there's no income tax here in New Hampshire. So, you're instantly richer when you move here. That's one benefit. And then the other part that Harvey mentions is the government's not always in your face. Man, I don't know if you have this problem out in Oregon, but in Philly, government is at every corner, on every block. If it's not a cop, it's a government building. So they're everywhere. I mean, government signs, government roads, government controlled everything. And it's not like that in New Hampshire. There's lots of private businesses. You might not see a cop for weeks. That's a pretty common thing. Wow. Driving around, you might not see a cop for weeks.
That's awesome.
That's pretty amazing. Coming from a place where they're on every corner.
I live in a really poor county, and we only have like two cops in the whole county on the road at once. Most of the cities deal with their own, but I live right on the edge of the poor county and then a more prosperous county. And in that more prosperous county, you do see a fair amount. It's not, you know, really? A cop every block, but it's like you might see one once a week.
It's more cops in the nice neighborhood?
Yes, actually. Hmm. Yeah, because they just can't afford it in Polk County where I live.
Well,
the cities have to deal with their own
I see.
Police force.
Well,
Polk County is very underfunded, and I love it.
Well, if you want a private police force, maybe they have some different options around the country. People have resorted to hiring, or even towns have resorted to hiring private police. It's like a common thing now.
Our private police is the dog barking when you drive up the driveway.
Not bad. Hey, that's helpful. Or it's personal responsibility. That's the best you can hope for. I mean, yeah, you could pay off the police, but then you have to depend on them. You can depend on yourself, you know, if you take personal responsibility, have a dog, or have be trained with a weapon. Well,
yeah.
The Harvey brothers, to return to their article about Bitcoin, they say, we definitely have the Free State Project to thank for getting this started. Being around people that support your ideas that are the kind of shooting for the same things is extremely helpful. So that's exactly what I said, but in different words. Yeah, it's being around people that support your ideas that are kind of shooting for the same things. He says it's extremely helpful. Yes, absolutely. I know some of my goals were to create a podcast, and we're doing that now. So moving to New Hampshire definitely helped to achieve that, because there are so many podcasts being developed here, so many people working on their own dreams of bringing freedom to the world. So let's talk about one of them. Ian Freeman, age 34, moved from his hometown of Sarasota, Florida, to Keene in 2006 because he felt the libertarian group he was a part of in Florida wasn't having enough of an impact. He chose Keene because it already had a reputation for activism and street theater that he wanted to be a part of, he said. It was one of the best decisions I have made in my life, he said.
Okay, I want to stop you here, and I want to talk about the Oregon Libertarian Party is absolutely terrible. I totally understand his frustration with that. And that's one big thing I have a frustration with, is I've tried to work with the Libertarian Party of Oregon, and there is some very complicated legal issues going on with the party here, and it's just terrible. It's nothing is being done, and it's really sad. And I think that it's great that people in New Hampshire have been able to come together and do something that seems like it wouldn't be too hard, but it seems to be with the other states. At least here in Oregon, the Libertarian Party, they do get their candidate on the ballot, but there is some very serious issues going along inside that party.
Do people get elected? Libertarian candidates?
No.
Any chance?
Not really.
Are they organized at least?
Hardly.
Wow.
Are they making
headlines? Do they ever do activism?
No.
Yeah. That's the case for most places. And that was even the case in Philadelphia. I mean, there are plenty of people. There's 1.5 million people, I think, in Philadelphia. So you're going to find some activists willing to go out and hold signs, do protests, but I want to be in a community of thousands of people who want to work towards more freedom, not just hundreds. I want to be living around these people, and that's, I think, what's so exciting about this project. So Ian's, according to the article, it says that after Ian moved to Keene, he founded the blog Free Keene to create a news outlet for news about activism in Keene. He also hosts a talk show, Free Talk Live, an internationally syndicated talk show on 160-plus radio stations and the internet. You can listen to me on Free Talk Live on Monday nights. Freeman does not object to working within the system. He has testified in Concord on the issue of legalization of marijuana and run for Keene City Council. Most recently, he ran as a Democrat candidate for governor in the primary against incumbent Maggie Hassan. But in his activism in Keene, that's what gets the news coverage, he said. He's named with five other Keene activists in the city lawsuit against Robin Hood and his Merry Men. Have you heard about this?
I have. People putting coins into parking lot, whatever those things are.
The meter poles or whatever. Yeah. The activists are accused by the city of harassing city parking enforcers. But, you know, the Robin Hooders say they're trying to fill empty parking meters before tickets can be issued. And they videotape and talk to parking enforcers while doing so. Freeman was also recently convicted on the charges of unsworn falsifications and prohibitions. And I don't mean to laugh about this, but I sort of laugh under my breath because the story was that he used his birth name and the government arrested him for that because he changed his birth name. And if he had filled out the paperwork the same way just 2 days prior, he would not be facing 2 years in jail. But because he filled out that paper the way he did, using his birth name on the day that he did, well, then that's a crime because his name had suddenly changed because he filled out some form, some government form. So now he's somehow guilty of a crime punishable by jail up to 2 years. It's pretty amazing. And it's amazing that he's willing to take this stuff on. I mean, he represented himself in court. And you can watch the full trial online. That's another great thing about New Hampshire is that you can record all your trials. For you folks who think that you've got the magic words to say in court that's going to get you off of any charge, I want to see it done. Come here and do it. I can record it. I promise there will be a team of activists ready to record you from every angle, get different audio. I want to see these challenges to the courts. I'm doing a few myself. Nick, you might have heard I got my parking ticket dismissed.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Facebook. Yeah.
I can't wait for the next one. Because I want to take these on. I want to be in court, you know, and go through the process of objecting, saying, you know, you're extorting $5. Parking shouldn't be a crime. You're costing way more money than this is worth. And who is the real victim here? You're not even helping anyone. In fact, you're hurting someone. So I think it's great that activists like Ian are setting an example for others to follow in this way, even though he's facing 2 years in jail. I mean, he's doing it on principle and for morality. So he says he's not surprised he's being targeted by police because of his work as an activist. Quote, they didn't even offer me a plea deal on that, he said. It does seem like they're trying to nail me to the wall for this one. When you're disobedient to the state, they really like to go after you with gusto.
They've gone after Ian so many times too. Like he had some issue with his house where they didn't have the right lighting or something, but they inspected his house some way. They did it without a warrant or something. They didn't have the right paperwork to do so he got away with it.
That's right. Yep, that happened. Government goons came right into Ian's house unannounced and said they were going to check out his wiring. Pretty weird. Good thing it's on video.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Meow.
Worms. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. Hey, there's a fun game that I want to play with you later on, Nicholas. But it is, I think we should introduce it. It's called Libertarians Against Humanity Solitaire Edition. This is a game we play sometimes on the Fiends during the last segment, Libertarians Against Humanity. People might be familiar with the game Cards Against Humanity. And it's just a fun game to play with your friends, to make silly statements about the world, about things you like. And libertarians, like any community, have certain in jokes that they share sometimes, and this is just fun to play, because whether or not you get the joke, it sounds ridiculous, and it's just sort of fun. So here's one example. I just pulled this up, and I am not joking. Well, I am, because this is about to be one of the joke cards that I'm going to read, but I'm saying this is for real. I pulled this card up first try, and it totally has everything to do with what we've just been talking about. Ian Freeman of Free Keen. This is Stop Free Keen has a new tactic involving moving to New Hampshire, only to find out they still have a government. How unfortunate, because that's true. That's right. So there's this group, Stop Free Keen, and they've become really opposed to some of the people here, like me, who, you know, record video and I don't know, try and live free. I guess they don't like that. Some people use chalk in Central Square and in downtown, and they don't like that. So they call themselves Stop Free Keen. And whether or not it is their tactic for people to move to New Hampshire only to find out they have a government, that is, in fact, the case. So as much as I paint this visionary world of a future where only anarchists live in New Hampshire, that's not true at all right now. We're still very much working towards that. At least I am. So, what do you say? Let's continue with this article here about what's really happening in New Hampshire and not just the imaginations of the people who live here. Ian Freeman, we were just talking about him. You were saying he had his horrible history of being arrested here in Keene. Well, in 2011, he served 58 days in jail for a 90-day sentence for, you guessed it, civil disobedience. He stood in front of a police cruiser during a protest, he said. While in jail, he met inmates serving less than a month for drunk driving offenses. Quote, "The real crime in America is committing civil disobedience. They punished me harder than someone that really could have hurt someone," Freeman said. "I'd like to know what somebody who's really charged with fraud really gets and what I get next week when I'm sentenced." In another court case, a minister of the Shire Free Church, Monadnock, Freeman, and three other ministers say they're being discriminated against because of their activism. Quote, "I expect the targeting to happen because that's just what they do. I consider the government to be a criminal enterprise," Freeman said. "If you're an activist and you stick your head above water, they target you. Comes with the territory." Freeman said he has his critics, but also many supporters. Robin Hooding continues to this day because community support. We get people thanking the Robin Hood people, giving us money, giving us hugs, sending us cards, sending donations, cutting checks. The response is overall very positive. But, yes?
Well, I think that should be the reaction. I think these people are doing a great service for their community and their, I don't want to say nation, but I mean, it provides a precedence for people to say, yeah, I can do that too. These people did it, so let's all do it. And it's really made me think about, well, what can I do? And I know that Robin Hooding is illegal here in Oregon, so I don't, but they do some great services there in New Hampshire.
You can do Robin Hooding in most places where you are. You can also pick up the idea of private charity, like Shire Sharing did. Pick up the torch, man. Feed your friends and neighbors. Anyone can do it, and it shows them that they don't need the government. And when we're not dependent on centralized authority, then we can truly live free. Depend on our friends and neighbors instead of random criminals in Salem, Oregon, or Washington, D.C., or wherever. Well, I'll leave you tonight with a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche, who says, "Everything the state says is a lie, and everything it has stolen."